I saw 33 Variations last Saturday for the first time, and I guess the big question at the center of this play is, why did Beethoven spend so much effort writing variations to what is considered to be a very ordinary waltz? And it is a very ordinary piece of music. Is that a correct thing to say about it?
I think you could regard it that way. Anton Diabelli wrote the waltz with his intention of circulating it to many composers in the Austrian Empire in 1819, each of whom would write one variation. It was thus a waltz in common circulation. Beethoven immediately described it as a cobbler's patch because of its rather mechanical sequences, and it has repetitive features too. So in that context, you could describe it as a commonplace waltz.
But he didn't just write one variation, ultimately. He ended up writing 33, and he took a lot of time working on it, too.
The piece wasn't finished until 1823. 4 years later, it became an enormous undertaking, his largest work for piano, and in some respects a microcosm of his art. And one might best regard this great chain of variations less as variations of the original waltz than as transformations of it. The variations, in short, take what they wish from the waltz and can depart very far from it.
Well, you've performed the Diabelli Variations, you've recorded it, you've written a book about the Diabelli Variations, and Moises Kaufman came to you as he was embarking on this play. What sort of questions did he have for you when he began?
I think Moises was very taken by the paradoxical nature of this project. You have Beethoven at the height of his fame, late in life, at the height of his creative powers, and he first disdains the proposal of writing a single variation on Diabelli's waltz for what was a publicity project for Diabelli's company. And then he thinks further about it and starts to write for 6 or 7, then 23, then finally 33 transformations of the waltz with a range of musical expression that is perhaps wider than any other of his compositions.
At the same time, Moises is very interested in the nature of obsession, so beyond Beethoven, what drives people to do what they do, and that also then down the road became what drives someone who is a musicologist, which is not a very common occupation, what drives them to do what they do in parallel with what Beethoven is doing.
And those are the two stories, I guess I should point out here, of the play. The story of Beethoven writing the Diabelli Variations and the story of your namesake in the play, Catherine Brandt, trying to figure out how and why Beethoven did it. Was that story set when Moises first approached the two of you in working on the play?
Not at all. It was about maybe even 3 years before we knew where our conversations with him were going. So he would ask us endless questions and absorb material. But it was about, it was after I gave a talk in New York City, and he wanted to attend my lecture, and it was on a topic that I didn't think he was going to be interested in, production history of Wagner's operas. But it was the next day that he and his partner, we met for breakfast, and they said, finally, we better tell you something. There's actually a musicologist in this play. And that was news to us at that point. And it's interesting to see how many of our conversations and emails and phone calls translated into ideas that we can recognize in the lines of the play, but they too are so transformed that they've taken on a different artistic identity.
So the genesis of the play also took about as long as it took Beethoven to develop the Diabelli Variations, 3 to 4 years. And in each case, in the two time levels at work in the play, Beethoven's composing this great set of variations in the 1820s, and Catherine Brandt, an American scholar in the present, investigating Beethoven's achievement and his manuscripts for the work, in each case, it's a race against time. Because Catherine Brandt, her health is seriously compromised by Lou Gehrig's disease. She dies before the end of the play. And Beethoven, for his part, at this point in his life, he's also dealing with total deafness, but also a serious health problem, and knows that he doesn't have many years left.
They both have an obsession, and they both know that they're facing diseases that will consume them.
That's right.
Correct. I think many people in the audience will identify with a family member who is facing a major health challenge. But in the instance of Lou Gehrig's disease, which is referred to as an orphan disease, in the play, in which there's not as much research money behind it, although there's good work being done at Northwestern right now, there's no possibility that she's going to overcome her challenge, her health challenge, the same as with Beethoven. So they have that limitation set before them.
And neither of you are the Catherine Brandt in the play, but could either of you identify with any of the challenges she faced, if not her personal challenges, and maybe the professional challenges, this historical nut that she was trying to crack about the Diabelli variations?
Well, Bill has done much of the work that Catherine does in the play at the stage of writing his dissertation several years ago. And in a way, the musicology world has changed radically. One might not need to travel so far to actually see the resources. One can have access digitally to so much. But that idea of going to the physical archive, we've both lived that. We've both done archival work around the world, trying to solve these puzzles that in some ways have no perfect answer.
And actually, this particular project that I pursued many years ago with my dissertation did require access to the original documents, in part because I was reconstructing Beethoven's original draft of the variations from fragments in Berlin, Bonn, and Paris, and in southern France. And it's interesting that in the play, as Moises Kaufman develops it, there are seven figures at work. Three of them are in the historical period, and four of them in the present. But one of them is an archivist at the Beethoven Archive in Bonn who deals with the manuscripts, the original pieces of paper on which Beethoven made his sketches. And therefore, that makes the connection between the two temporal realms of the play.
Very interesting. Does Moises Kaufman get it right? That's a really vague phrase. When it comes to presenting Beethoven and his music and presenting the scholarly study of music?
I'd say he gets many things right. There are certain junctures where he takes the freedom that any artist developing fiction can well take. He doesn't have to be strictly accurate in a historical sense at every point. Nevertheless, he was deeply concerned about having a foundation for the play that was historically real.
In some ways, though, Catherine's hypothesis and the way she tests it wouldn't be what you would see in normal everyday, whatever normal everyday musicology is. But it does make the story a bit more approachable to an audience who doesn't have that background.
And I know that in the play, if you go see the play, you're going to hear a lot of the Diabelli variations. Large chunks of it are presented throughout the play. Is that a useful way to approach the work? A lot of people in the audience will be hearing it for the first time.
I think it's extremely essential to the basic idea of the play. And audience members might wish, if they're attracted by the ideas in the play, they might wish to take some time with a good recording of Beethoven's masterpiece later, and they're likely to find that the work grows on them more and more. What's also fascinating here is that this play and Moises Kaufman's development of these ideas, they reflect something that was very characteristic of Beethoven, to find unlimited creative possibilities in the commonplace. In a way, that's the secret of the Diabelli variations, that Beethoven takes something that is unassuming, that's not arcane or difficult or abstract, and his creative vision extracts and develops out of this common object an almost unlimited set of astonishing contexts. It shows us that in any moment of life, much more potential is present than we normally can realize.
Let me add that as Moises came to understand the work much better, much through Bill's help, he began to recognize that the structure of the musical work could lend his drama a certain foundation and also its tone to some extent. When you have a character who's facing the end, there are obviously some very heavy themes involved. But Moises laces the whole work with touches of comedy, which I think are essential to the overall balance. But in a sense, they're also stemming from the Diabelli variations. The work ends with a minuet, which allows the drama itself to not end on a heavy, tragic tone, even though we've just witnessed Catherine Brandt's last days. It allows us to step back a little bit and to absorb both the tragic and the comic elements in a blend of sorts.
It's sometimes overlooked that Beethoven was a great master of musical humor and comedy, and he extracts at various points in this work humorous possibilities, in part through exaggerating the features of the waltz that we might regard as repetitious or banal. It's a kind of musical caricature. And this is reflected in Moises Kaufman's play in some scenes, like the wonderful hallucination sequence in Act Two, where Catherine Brandt, under treatment, hallucinates a meeting with Beethoven. And then she says, oh, this is terrible. This is unbecoming in a scholar. And then he replies, well, it could have been worse. It could have been Tchaikovsky. And then continues in describing how he's in limbo together with these other composers, and that God is angry with them, and that he hates the angelic music, and it makes him wish he was deaf again. There is a lot of very Beethovenish humor that finds its way into Kaufman's play.
And the idea that Beethoven might find Diabelli's Cobbler Patch Waltz preferable to the music of heaven.
That's right. That's also a funny idea, a good take.
Professor Kindemann and Professor Sire, thank you very much for talking with me about this. And I understand you'll have the opportunity to talk about the play again this coming weekend at, is it the Friday night performance?
It's the Friday night, yes.
Yes, and an opportunity to play a few of the variations, too.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.